so low I can't open my Bible. Okay, please open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 this time. 2 Thessalonians 3. Some great truths in this book, and you just find them planted all over the place there. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, we've just been going back and forth between chapter 2 and chapter 3 for a while now, and I won't guarantee that this is the last lesson from this epistle. Seems every time you look at it, God shows you one more thing. So let's see what he'll show us today. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and with that passage also, you might want to prepare Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians 6, these are two verses of Scripture that are in total agreement. 2 Thessalonians 3 and Galatians chapter number 6. In this third chapter of 2 Thessalonians, the Holy Spirit is sending an admonition to Christians who have newly been converted. They're young babes in Christ. And they heard the good news of the gospel and believed it and were saved. And then they heard the good news that Jesus was coming again. And so they just so completely embraced that truth that many of them just began to forsake their temporal duties and responsibilities in anticipation of the Lord's return. Brother, could you turn this fan on for me? Just low. Okay, so they were this chapter in 2 Thessalonians was written then to politely but to sternly tell those men to get back to work, to get a job, to provide for their family, to take care of their duties and their responsibilities, and to remind those ladies that and those sisters to be diligent about guiding the household, training the children, because little did they know that 2,000 years later, we'd still be living in the same hopeful and genuine anticipation of the Lord's return. And so the word went out to those believers, don't lose your hope and your excitement about Jesus coming soon, but don't forsake your responsibilities to your family and to your neighbors and to your community in the meantime. And then in Galatians chapter 6, and we'll read that in a minute, in that passage, the church, the believers at Galatia, were struggling with an ongoing conflict or battle between the ever-present tendency of the flesh to turn from God to the things that were sinful, and the ever-present fighting or opposition to the flesh provided by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so they were continually in this conflict of the flesh versus the Spirit, and the Spirit versus the flesh, and that was their particular battle, their particular struggle. Now, to those two different groups, the Bible says this, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." And then Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9, Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us today from this truth in your word today. Help us, Lord, to learn how to continue to do the things that will be a help to others, a help to us in our own Christian life and our own spiritual walk. Lord, help us to understand how this can be a great help to us to keep us in your will, doing the things that will bring us further blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you know, I'm glad that the Bible is an honest book. It's the truth, of course, so it must be honest. I'm glad it's a realistic book, though. The Bible says to those of you who are working for a living, to those of you who are working for your family, to those of you who are laboring to have a good marriage, laboring to raise Christ-honoring, God-fearing children, to those of you who are laboring to establish a strong and an essential local church, to those of you who are laboring and working to support missions around the world, the Bible says to you that can wear you out. You can grow tired in doing what is right. I'm glad the Bible didn't say, be not weary of well-doing. Then I'd have to stand before you this morning and say, you know what, one of these days you're going to get tired of fighting the flesh. That's not biblical. One of these days you're going to get tired of providing for your family. That's not biblical. The scriptures do not say that you will grow weary of these things that are right, but you'll grow weary in these things that are right. I believe with all my heart the indwelling Holy Spirit never grows tired of helping you fight the lust of your flesh, but you will grow tired in that fight. I'm satisfied that the Savior who gave you the new birth, the Savior who abides with you forever, He will never get tired of helping you and enabling you to do what is right with regard to your spouse, what is right with regard to your children, your parents, what is right with regard to your neighbors and your church. God will never grow tired of helping you do right. But you certainly can. I certainly can grow weary in that activity. So the Bible gives a very honest presentation here. It is a wearisome thing to get up day after day after day after day after day and toil in manual labor, toil in intellectual labor, toil in that which provides food for your table. And that's the context of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You're not to eat somebody else's bread. You are to earn your own. And the Bible honestly says that is a wearisome activity. I don't care how you earn your money, your life would be easier if you didn't have to earn it. We don't look forward to going to heaven so we can dig ditches and nail shingles on roofs and fix flat tires and work on assembly lines or in a factory. I mean, listen, we long for heaven and we speak of it as a place of rest. But that's heaven. That's heaven. And the Bible says, gentlemen, at the end of another cycle of months, at the end of another year that's about to run its course, the Bible says to you, I know that gets tiresome. I know that gets wearisome to try and not only hold down a job, but to work that job the way that you're supposed to. When you're surrounded by people who are taking advantage of your biblical work ethic. I mean, after a while, you get tired of working the way that you're supposed to, but twice as hard as you have to, and four times as hard as the non-believers on your job. If you're going to labor in such a way as to earn your money, you're liable to run into the wrath and the anger of your coworkers. I don't know if you've ever come across that, but I have. I've had coworkers get a little bit nervous when they saw me working, told me I got to slow down. Didn't want to make them look bad. But the pressure that's brought to bear by a world that says, cut every corner you can find, by a world that says, sign up for the handout, by a world that says, just go to church when you feel like it, by a world that says, just give when you're in the mood, by a world that has no diligence, a world that has no devotion, a world that has no genuine motivation, it's easy to get weary in well-doing. When you have reversals and setbacks, come on, let's not pretend to be more spiritual than we are. Let's not miss a blessing by pretending we got it all worked out when we don't. When you work and when you labor and when you give it your all and the bottom line is good and the business is growing and the family is well and the bills are all being paid on time and even ahead of time, well, it's a lot easier to get up and go to work the next day than it is when you've worked yourself to death and added up all the numbers and you come up short. Minus comes up instead of plus. And you finally, through hard work, and you finally, through diligent effort, get to the place where you can say, well, I'm saved now. I'm going to get my family out of debt. We're going to pay our bills. We're going to get things caught up. And we're going to have plastic surgery on our wallet, cut up those plastic cards, and we're just about to climb out of this hole of debt. And when you hit a slick patch of mud and you slide right back down where you were before. And when that happens, it's a little bit harder to get up the next day and say, well, praise the Lord, I've got good health. Thank God I've got a job. Could be a whole lot worse. I'm going to go to work and do my best for Jesus. It's not always that way, is it? And so the Bible, an honest book, says to the vast majority of Christians who are not in quote-unquote full-time Christian service, to the people who make up our churches, you are going to run the risk of being worn out with trying to earn a living. And then come home and still be a cheerful spouse. And then set aside all the troubles that come with earning a living and try to be a blessing to the children who don't understand why you're not wanting to be a blessing that day. And then take all those burdens and all of that fatigue and all of that difficulty from your day and on top of that, come and be a loyal and devoted and faithful member of a busy church. And then take all of that hard-earned money that you earned by the sweat of your brow and voluntarily give it away, so that people in Zambia and India and the Philippines and Indonesia and all around the world can hear about Jesus. And so let's just be honest about it. In your heart of hearts, you don't ever want to stop doing that because it's right, and you know it's right, and you believe the Word of God, and you believe in the cause of Christ, but sometimes it's just harder to be enthusiastic about it than others. Thanks. Sometimes it's harder to be on top than it is to be on the bottom. So the Bible says, and I'm glad it's here, in the middle of this passage about providing for your family and working for a living and pressing on with responsibilities, I'm glad the Bible says right in the middle of that, don't be weary in well-doing. You're doing the right thing. You're living the good life. You're doing what you're supposed to do. And if the government says otherwise, if the media says otherwise, if the neighbors say otherwise, if the so-called Christian community says otherwise, I just want you to know, God says, you're doing well. You're doing well. Don't be weary in well doing. And so, can I say something that might sound silly to you, but it really is important? I'll just be honest with you. Sister, it would really help once in a while if you just walked up beside your husband and thanked him for going to work and bringing the money home instead of taking it and gambling it away, for paying bills instead of snorting it up his nose or something. Just a little something to keep him from getting weary in well-doing. That would help. I tell you, I thank God for my mother, and I'll tell you what I learned from her. You should never get up from a meal that somebody cooked for you without thanking the person that did it. I wouldn't want to shop for it and then prepare it and cook it and clean up after it. And the only response to all those efforts that you'll hear is, this is it? You know, I'm just telling you, man, you can say all you want about cooking and cleaning and washing and sewing and ironing and tidying and all that kind of stuff. It would wear you out in about 2 days, man. You know, I'm tired. I've been at work all day, you say. Well, guess what? She's been at work all day and still has 6 more hours to go. While you sit on the couch and snap your fingers because you're the man. You're the man. I'm the king of the castle. It wouldn't hurt to just say thank you. To say I appreciate it. To say, just keep up the good work. You're doing a good job. You're doing great. I'm a man. Well, be a man. Be manly enough to say thank you. Be manly enough to show some appreciation. Boys and girls, it wouldn't hurt for you to show your daddy and your mother a little appreciation, a little respect, a little thank you. Wouldn't hurt you. I mean, think about it. You're eating free. You're rooming free. You're riding free. Even the spankings that you get, they're free. You didn't have to pay for those. It wouldn't hurt you to say thank you. Amen. You know, we get weary in well-doing. You can't just take it for granted that mom and dad want to be mom and dad every day. Some days they'd probably just like to run off and hide. They'd like to go to jail and have somebody make their food and give them a place to sleep and just relax and read books and not have to worry about anybody else's needs. And you know that mood that you get in, Dad? Once you come out of that thing and you want your kids to come and hug you and be happy just like it never happened, it wouldn't hurt you to just every once in a while come home from work and if you're in that mood, say, you know, kids, the best thing you could do is just stay away from Dad for a little while. I don't know what happened to him, but till he gets his spiritual act back together, you might want to just stay clear for a little while. You know, we just raise that warning flag for them. You know, I mean, come on, let's be honest about it. If you're saved, you want to be a good husband, you want to be a good wife, but sometimes you do get weary of it. If you're saved, you want to be a good parent to your children, but sometimes it wears you out. What about church? You know, we think about our church. We used to get together and see what we could do to make this church more presentable for our visitors. We had painting parties and trash pickup days around the outside of the church, and we'd shampoo the carpet and wash windows and hang clean drapes and clean up that nasty smell out there in the stairwell and look for any way we could make this church more inviting. Nowadays, it seems like we're just content to kick the trash out of our way on the way in the door and hope this plaster doesn't fall on our head, off the ceiling. You know why we don't join together anymore and do our part? Because people got tired of doing those things, and, well, I guess nobody cared. People just got tired of laboring in those unrecognized areas of service. Well, it wouldn't hurt for us to find out who cleans up this church for us every week. You know, when you leave your papers and your empty cups on the tables and your crumbs and your spilled drinks on the carpet after church, who is it cleaning that up? It didn't magically evolve into a clean building since you left. Somebody cleaned that thing. And I don't care how spiritual they are, you get tired of those things sometimes. I ought to pray for you without ceasing. Let me tell you something. When I'm feeling God in my life and things are going good, souls are getting saved, my health is good, spirituality is good, man, I love to pray for you. But you know, when I'm over there on the backside of the moon and everything's dark and dead, well, I know I'm supposed to, and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but you can get weary in doing what's right. It wouldn't hurt you to thank people who are praying for you. It wouldn't hurt you to thank the people who are looking out for your soul, setting a good example for you. It wouldn't hurt you to thank them. You say, well, why do I have to do that? Because people get weary in well-doing. And that helps. They don't want to quit. They don't want to go back into the world. They don't want to go back and live in sin. There's just sometimes, and if you're honest, you'll agree, there's just sometimes when you wish doing right came easier. You wish that doing right brought an instant reward. You wish doing right brought some visible public recognition from God so that the world really did know we were right and they were wrong. Come on, don't you wish it was like in those paintings you see? Wouldn't you like to walk down the street with this halo, this glowing halo over your head? Everybody would know. Look, I'm a saint. They're right around my head everywhere I go. It just follows me around. But what proof do you have now? Do they use bad language around you? Cuss at you? Make fun of you? Slam doors in your face? Treat you like dirt? Well, bless God, I don't care. I'm going to press on for Jesus. Well, yeah, today. Tomorrow you'll hope more for Armageddon than you will for the rapture. You know, one day it's all praise God. We're going to be all caught up to meet Jesus. And the next day it's praise God. 7 years after that, he's going to come and burn them all. I mean, be honest. We get weary in well-doing. So the Bible says, let's go to Galatians. Galatians 6. Regarding spiritual things. Galatians 6. Verse number 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now that has to do with sowing to the flesh, sowing to the spirit. You know what happens to you in the course of a year from January to December? The same thing that happens to me. Same thing that happens to all of us. There are seasons in your life when you love to read the Bible. There's seasons in your life when you can't wait to get to church every time the doors are open. There are seasons in your life when you love the preaching of God's Word. You love God's people. And it's just the greatest thing in the world to be saved and go into a good church. And there are other seasons in your life when you come here because you're supposed to. And you read the Bible because you're supposed to. And you put on the little front. You know, good to see you. How you doing? I'm doing great. How about you? Yeah, praise the Lord. And you couldn't care any less about the things going on around here. I mean, come on, let's be honest. I'm just being honest. You have seasons in your life when you want souls saved around the world. And you have seasons in your life when the greatest missionary letter ever written couldn't move you one centimeter because you just really don't care at the moment, at that moment. Okay? Now, so here's what the Bible says. Just keep doing right because you're going to come out of that season. Just keep doing right because there will be a blessing. There will be a reward. There will be a benefit in time if you just stay the course. You can stay married for 60 years if you'll just do right when you don't feel like it. Not just when you feel like it. You can provide for your family until you leave this world if you'll just do right when you don't feel like it. You can be true and faithful to a good church till the Lord comes if you'll just do right when you don't feel like it. You can live in victory over sin if you'll do right when you don't feel like it. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Does it surprise some of you to have learned that 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years into your salvation, what the flesh used to want, it still wants? Has it surprised you to find out that there are no new tricks, there's no new temptations, there are no new enticements? It's just learning not to yield when I don't feel like standing. See, this is the carnal Christian. This is the baby Christian. This is the double-minded man. When I'm up, when I'm on fire for God, when it's easy, well, bless God, I love the Lord, I'm never doing that again. And when it's not easy because I'm not up and I'm struggling and I'm weary, then I go ahead and sin and crawl back and repent. I mean, you could spend your whole life doing that, or you can learn to stand and do right and not be weary in well-doing. Just get through that dry season till the good season comes again. We have those as a church even. Talk to any of these people who've been here a long time. We have them as a church. We'll go 3, 4, 5 months. All the services are great. The singing is great. The numbers are up. People are looking for ways to serve. I mean, the love of the brethren is shining. Everything's just fantastic. And then without any explanation, you just turn that corner. The singing's kind of dull, you know. It's not very convincing. And preaching stinks. And people aren't wanting to go on visitation. Everybody seems to be just kind of tolerating each other. If not, they're getting on each other's nerves. Again, I'm just being honest with you. Biblically, you can be doing right and be wearied with it at the very same time. The Bible says, I want you to get to the place where you're not weary in well-doing. That's the objective. That's the goal. All right, let me show you two places in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 40 will be the first. Isaiah 40. And verse number 28. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? How about that? Isn't that a comfort? I mean, so if I'm over here trying to live for God, and God's over here, and I'm saying, hey God, look at me, look what I'm doing for you, look how strong I am, look how faithful I am. If I do that, I am going to fail because I get weary. But if I understand that I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, and I'm not working for God, independent of God, but that I've been made a very part of the Lord Jesus Christ, and His strength and His life and His power and His faith and His consistency is operating in my life, that's a whole different situation. Because he fainteth not, neither is weary. So he says, God's not weary. Then he goes on, there is no searching of his understanding. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary. You know, the young guys. I can outrun you. I can outjump you. I can outwork you. I can do more than you. Well, yeah, maybe you can, but the Bible says you also have your breaking point. Let me tell you, you cannot explain to a guy who is 23 years old, who's saved and loves Jesus, that a wife and a house and a job and Bible study and sermon preparation, how that stuff limits the amount of time that you can spend out knocking on doors. Well, I'm doing more for Jesus than you are, and you're the pastor. You're supposed to do more than me. Well, to that I say, just keep doing it, young man. Good job. Just keep doing it as long as you can. Because one day you're going to look back and you're going to say, wow, why did I say that to that guy? That was really dumb. And I'm telling you, you have more time, you have more energy, you have fewer responsibilities. Listen, if you're young, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, you can give your whole life to just serving God. Then do it. But then you too have your breaking point. You too have your point of weariness. You too have your point where your strength fails. All right, so it says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Did any of you get saved when you were young and have had an utter fall? That's way bigger than a fall, okay? I've fallen, but I've also utterly fallen. And an utter fall is the kind that everybody just kind of gets away from, you know? Nobody wants to be around you when you utterly fall. Okay? You love Jesus? Glad you do. Saved? I'm glad you are. Newly saved? Great. Excited about the Lord? I'm happy to hear it. Just telling you, from the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are going to hit the proverbial wall. Sooner or later, the thrill will be gone. Sooner or later, the wave of enthusiasm will play out. sooner or later, the pure emotion of meeting Jesus and having your sins forgiven will just kind of temper itself. Then what are you going to do? You're going to fall, or you might utterly fall. And you can stay right there and say, well, that Jesus thing wasn't for me after all. Or you can say, you know what? I've gone as far as I can go on my own. I'm going to learn now about His strength, how His strength can keep me going when I don't feel like going. How His joy can keep me excited when I'm not excited. How His never-failing power can keep me doing right, even when doing right is not easy anymore. And you're going to have to get through that, maybe once, maybe twice, maybe once a month, if you're going to do something for Jesus in a lasting way, both in the world and in the church. Now he says this, continuing here, he says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Notice your wording. Never miss the wording of the Bible. He did not say, they that wait for the Lord. He said, they that wait upon the Lord. You know how you get your strength back when you don't feel like serving God? You just keep serving God. You know how you get excited about church again when you've lost interest in going to church? You just keep going to church. You know how you'll find the Bible enjoyable again when it's not enjoyable? You just keep reading it. You know how you find giving to missions thrilling when it's lost its thrill? You just keep giving. The only way to get through the weariness is to keep on working. The only way to get through being tired is to just keep doing right. And one day you're going to wake up and God has put the strength back in you. God has put the joy back in you. God has put the enthusiasm back in you. God has put the zeal back in you. Just keep going. In due season you'll reap if you faint not. It's not great every day. It's not fun every day. I mean, apart from my wife, nobody has it good every day since they got married. Right, Dawn? Great every day, right? Everybody else has their ups and downs. Right? All right. Amen. Listen, that's what's so messed up about this world. The first time that my expectations aren't met, I'm out of here. You know, the first time this church, the first time this preacher, the first time that man, the first time that woman doesn't thrill me, I'm moving on. First time it's not the roller coaster. Woohoo! I'm at Disney. Woohoo! I'm at Universal Studios. Woohoo! It's SeaWorld time. Woohoo! I'm at Bible Believers Baptist Church. Woohoo! I'm married. You can't be excited every day of your life, taking out the garbage, washing dishes, doing laundry. Come on. You can stand up here and say, bless God, I'm telling you, ever since I got saved, it's just been wonderful. Really? You've never been on your face in a bathroom, sick as you can be, and you're laying there on the floor, and your wife comes in and says, how are you doing, honey? Praise the Lord. I'm just glad I'm saved. Hallelujah. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Don't kid me. you're not that spiritual. Nobody is. Nobody is. So what does the Bible say? You just got to keep waiting on God. You just got to keep serving God. You just got to keep doing right. And as you mature and as you grow and as you learn, God's good when times aren't good. And God is good when times are good. And it's better serving God, even though you seem to be getting nothing out of it, than it would be to not serve God because you quit in defeat. It's better. See, serve God, that's all you can do. You just got to make up your mind. I'm going to be in the right place at the right time with the right people, doing the right thing for the right reason, whether I feel like it or not. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And verse number 1. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Do you see the example set before us? The temporal for Jesus was lousy. It was bad. The promise, though, of how it was going to turn out was worth going on. For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So here's where you will quit. It says, the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. That is when you will quit. When you quit thinking about Jesus Christ. It's that simple. Lord, this is really hard, you say. Well, compared to what? Compared to crucifixion? Lord, you know what kind of pressure I'm under compared to what? That cup that he drank in the garden? Lord, you don't know how they're treating me compared to what? Bearing the sins of the whole world in your own body? Look, that's what Hebrews 12 says. You have got to step back from that thing and look at what it is that's about to make you quit in comparison to what Jesus went through for you, and realize, well, if I've got his power and his might and his strength, I can sure handle this. I can sure handle this. You know, there's a great difference between kids from, say, my parents' generation and kids today. Kids growing up in the 40s in America, they had a whole lot more hardships to deal with than kids today. In America, there were families living in extreme poverty. Their fathers worked hard to put food on the table, clothes on their backs, and kids were grateful for everything they got, even though they didn't have much. Many kids lost their fathers in the world wars, and their mothers had to find ways to provide for them. It was a hard life, but kids then were not so prone to complain about it back then. Today, kids think they got it tough if their mom and dad buy them a used car instead of a brand new sports car or luxury car. My dad taught me right, though. He didn't buy me any car, and I didn't expect that he should. I mean, how can that be considered a hardship? If that's the worst thing that ever happened to me, I should be dancing in the street. And so we've got this whole generation now. You know, my dad, he just never understood me. No, he didn't. He didn't. He's got a different way of thinking. So he really didn't. I mean, you've got everything in the world, and kids these days are out there marching on the Capitol to complain about how bad they've got it. They're wearing rags to prove that they're being mistreated when previous generations fought and bled and died so they could have nice clothes, even though they grew up in rags themselves. So you understand the offense that our generation was to our parents' generation. There's no way we could relate those things to each other. And here I am. Look, I do it. You do it. But Hebrews 12 says, just step back for a minute. Somebody's fence is 1 foot on your property, and you're going to go and tell that with passion to somebody who bore the sins of every man and woman who ever lived in his body on the cross. Okay? You have a toothache. Yeah, I know it hurts. But if God, who drank the cup of wrath and bore the sins of every person ever to be born and die, if he's not as upset about that at the moment that you are, it's just because, well, his perspective is so different from ours. Okay, we want to quit because somebody said something mean to us. He took every mean thing that every person ever said to any other person and suffered for that on the cross. And you're going to quit going to church and quit serving God because somebody showed you disrespect? The creator of the universe was hanging naked with spit running down his face. And you want to quit because you didn't get invited to sing in the church choir? And you're not coming back because somebody sat in your cherished seat? Do you get this passage in Hebrews about consider him, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds? The passage is, before you let that stop you, look at the one whose power is available to you. And look at what he went through without stopping. Now, are you sure you want to quit on that? I'm going to stand here at the judgment seat of Christ before the one with the print of the nails in his hands, before the one who suffered and bled and died to pay for all the sins of the whole world. I'm going to stand there and say, well, I would have served you. I would have lived for you. I would have given to your cause. I would have been faithful to the gospel, but I was just so tired on Friday mornings. Really? And the Lord's going to say, okay, go on, tell me the rest. No, Lord, that was it. Well, no, I mean, well, why did you quit? No, that's all, Lord. Well, tell me about the torture or the persecution. No, really, that was it. Yeah, but what was it like when you were on the rack and they were pulling your body apart? No, Lord, that didn't ever happen to me. I was just tired, that's all. You say, well, who would ever do that? I would. You would. I mean, when I look at what it takes to knock me off course, when I look at what it takes to distract me from what's important, when I look at what it takes to get me discouraged, it seems so big until I lay it down next to what Jesus did for me and then see it for what it really is. And it's not even worth praying about. I can't even go to God with this little problem that seemed so big. It's that small. It's that trivial. It's that inconsequential. Just God help me go on. God help me to consider you. God help me to look unto you. God help me to turn my thinking back to what's right and what's proper and what's important. Amen. So brothers and sisters, the message this morning is you're going to get weary in well-doing. A lot of times it won't even be because of something that happened. You won't even know what it is. You'll just get up and say, how was I so excited about Jesus yesterday and so disinterested today? Well, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Galatians 6 says you're going to keep fighting. Don't be weary. Just keep doing well. What's the use getting up, going to work, earning money? Well, that's what God ordained. So be not weary in well-doing. Just press on. God help us to learn to tap into His power and His might to do right, because it's right. Even when we don't feel like it, it's right. Do what we're supposed to do when it's not thrilling, just because we're supposed to do it. Okay? So that's a great truth from the Bible, and I hope it helps. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this information that you've given us, this important word in your scriptures. Help us, Lord, to do exactly what we've learned to, when we feel like griping or complaining about something in our life, to lay that down next to what you've done for us and to compare the two, so that we may realize and recognize how trivial our problem is, and just press on, keep on doing right. Lord, help us to understand that you are in us, we are in you, and we can benefit from your strength and your power and your ability to not get worried, but to get the job done when we can't. Help us, Lord, to understand that is available to us, so we can keep doing right. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.